Chapter 4. Abandoned at Sea. As soon as it was dark, father and son-in-law launched the boat and set sail. There were great waves and a fierce wind, but the boat was swift, light, and dry, and it barely touched the waves. The wizard had a lantern, which he lit and held with his finger through the ring. The two sat in the back of the boat and smoked cigars, which Kalamake always had at the ready, and spoke like friends about magic and the great sums of money which they could make by using it. They talked about what they should buy first and second, and Kalamake talked like a father. He then looked all about, above him at the stars and back at the isle, which was already three parts sunk under the sea. He seemed to seriously consider his position.
"Look," he said, "there is Molokai already far behind us, and Maui like a cloud. By the position of these three stars, I know I am in the right place. This part of the sea is called the Sea of the Dead. Here it is extraordinarily deep, and the sea floor is all covered with the bones of men. In the holes of this part, gods and hobgoblins live. The flow of the sea is to the north, stronger than a shark can swim. Any man who is thrown out of a ship here disappears into the farthest ocean like a wild horse disappears into the forest. When he is spent from swimming and goes down, and his bones are thrown with the rest, and the gods eat his spirit."
Fear came over Keola at the words, and as he watched by the light of the stars and the lantern, the wizard seemed to change.
"What bothers you?" cried Keola quickly and sharply.
"It is not I who am bothered," said the wizard, "but there is one here who is very sick."
With that, he changed his grasp upon the lantern, and as he drew his finger from the ring, his finger stuck, the ring burst, and his hand grew to be three times its size. At that sight, Keola screamed and covered his face, but Kalamake held up the lantern.
"Look at my face," he said, and his head was as huge as a barrel.
And still he grew and grew as a cloud grows on a mountain, and Keola sat before him screaming as the boat raced on the great seas.
"And now," said the wizard, "what do you think about that concertina? Are you sure you would not rather have a flute? No? That is well, for I do not like my family members to change their minds. But I begin to think I had better get out of this small boat, for my weight swells to a very large degree, and if we are not more careful, she will soon sink."
With that, Kalamake threw his legs over the side. Even as he did so, the greatness of the man grew 30-fold in an instant, so that he stood in the deep seas to his armpits. His head and shoulders rose like a high isle, and the waves beat and burst upon his chest as they beat and break against a cliff. The boat still ran to the north, but he reached out his hand, took the gunwale between his fingers, and broke the side like a biscuit. Keola fell into the sea as the wizard crushed the pieces of boat in the palm of his hand and threw them miles away into the night.
"Excuse me for taking the lantern," he said, "but I have a long wade before me. The land is far, the bottom of the sea unstable, and I feel the bones under my feet."
And Kalamake turned and walked away with great steps. Keola watched him wade into the water, noting how he held the lamp high over his head, and the waves broke around him as he went. Since the time that the isles first rose out of the sea, there was never a man so frightened as this Keola. He swam, but he swam as puppies swim when they are thrown in to drown and do not know where they are. He could only think of the huge size of the angry wizard, of that face which was as great as a mountain, of those shoulders that were as broad as an isle, and of the seas that beat on them without effect. He thought, too, of the concertina, and shame took hold of him, and then of the dead men's bones, and fear shook him.